good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation, call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hope you had a good weekend. We have a very, very busy show today. Joining us at 10:33, we are going to look again at Project 2025. This is online. It's available. It's like 1,000 pages long, but it is pretty much a blueprint for what would happen under a second Trump administration and the ramifications of that for our democracy and essentially for all of us. So we're going to be joined at 10:33 by retired Major General Randy Manner. He's going to join us. He is with the National Security Leaders for America. We have talked to some of their members before, including retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson from a couple of months ago. So if you have questions about Project 2025, if you want to email those in or just text him in at 855-752-4842, you can do that right now. Also, next hour, cars versus deer.
Oh, boy.
And this is a really big problem, and I didn't realize until we found this article, Greg, that this is a massive problem around the country, and Wisconsin is, like, in the top five.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As far as car-deer collisions and what that means and the number of deaths. There's a shocking number of deaths. So we're going to talk to Kip Adams, who is with the National Deer Association, which I did not realize was a thing.
I did not realize it wasn't in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's not based in Wisconsin. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
He's going to join us to talk about that and what we can do to try and protect ourselves and avoid that.
Yes.
If at all possible.
Yes.
We're going to start off, though, with a little update on South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. We talked about her on Friday. Little difficulty trying to keep her story straight about why she shot her hunting dog, Cricket. That's changed a little bit in just a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then Kristi Noem was all over the Sunday morning talk shows yesterday. In her book, she claims that she met North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
That seems like a pretty unforgettable thing.
Yeah, you would remember that,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
And Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation asked her about this yesterday. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
So you write about lessons learned in leadership, and you bring up some specific incidents I want to ask you about. You talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants.
What?
I've been a children's pastor, after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. As soon as it was brought to my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I've met with many, many world leaders. Oh. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. Uh-huh. I think I've talked extensively in this book about my time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. Not going to do that.
Wait. But you said in your book that you met Kim Jong-un.
She meant you have to buy the book for her to talk about it.
But she apparently removed this passage about meeting Kim Jong-un.
Which
isn't that kind of what she implied there?
Yeah.
She did some edits. She had to do some edits.
I have questions. I have a couple questions. So that was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. The book comes out.
Tomorrow.
If edits are being done, that means then the second edition will have these edits because the first editions are sitting in the bookstores right now waiting for people never to buy them.
Right. They're either going to have to not release the first run.
Yeah.
Right?
Recall the entire run.
Recall all of them and then reissue it. And the other thing that's just jumped out at me is that Kristi Noem voiced the audiobook.
Yes.
So that would mean that this passage that was allegedly incorrect, She read it into a microphone as part of the audiobook. So as the words are coming out of her mouth, does she not recognize the words that she's saying?
Well, also, that means that her ghostwriter has so much power that she just gave her a bunch of notes, walked away and said, write a book and I'll come back and whatever. So she was either, she's either lying.
Which wonders.
I'd like to do a little bit of theater really quick. Just be really quick piece of theater. You be the Sunday morning host.
Okay.
And you ask the big question, you know, or you say, so you didn't meet Kim Jong-un, and I will play Christy Noem, and I will do what Christy Noem should have just done to make this a whole lot simpler.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
I'm Margaret Brennan.
Yep, I am Christy. I'm Christy Noem.
So, Governor Noem, are you saying you did not meet with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un?
That is correct. And thank you. Scene, everyone. Scene. We're going to be going to the pizza parlor afterwards for some well-deserved pizza.
What? And then she was complaining. She tweeted yesterday, this morning in our 15-minute interview, Margaret Brennan interrupted me 36 times, once every 25 seconds on average. You know what, Ms. Noem? There's a reason for that. It's called lying.
Yeah.
If you appear on a program and you're interrupted constantly, it might be because, number one, you're not answering the question that was asked.
Mm.
You are dancing around the question that was asked. And you don't want to answer any questions because you just want to use this as a little campaign stop so you can speak uninterrupted.
Yeah. And it also goes back to this whole notion of they just... And this is like a lot of politicians, not just...
It's not just Republicans.
Yeah. Just this idea of you can't be wrong. You can't go back. You can't say, I was incorrect. We've made the cuts. That shouldn't have been the book. Even if you look dumb, you at least say it was incorrect. Instead of this, I won't speak on this. I've talked to many, many world leaders. And also, how do you think the parents of those kids you taught would feel that you compared their children to Kim Jong-un? Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, I've stared down the eyes of a lot of little dictators. No, that's not cool. Like, you don't talk like that.
Sounds like she was part of a tough church, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, yeah, it's you know, I wonder if her church has admonished her for her behavior towards animals. I doubt it.
Speaking of the whole shooting Cricket the hunting dog, the 14-month-old dog, because... It started out that he ruined a hunt and he killed some chickens.
Yes.
And turned around to biters.
Yes.
That has now grown into he's a livestock killer. He was biting all kinds of people and I had to shoot him to protect my children.
Which I don't think that part's in the book. I think just the book has the original story.
The original story.
Because that's what she went with because that's what she thought everyone would love and identify with. Now she's, instead of once again saying the dog community has come to tell me that I did incorrectly. And while I disagree, maybe point taken, whatever. Now it's, this dog was an ISIS. Let's listen to me, Jane. This dog was an ISIS. It had a plan and it was un-American. And from what I understand, they support Ukraine, too, that dog does. So we've got to get rid of it.
Not anymore. Yeah. Also, this little statistic came up this morning. 32% of Trump supporters say Christy Noem killing her dog is acceptable.
Yeah.
39% say it is unacceptable.
Now, I don't know how many of Trump supporters said that when the story first broke. I do know that the day of and after the story broke, the right and the left sort of united and say, yeah, this ain't cool. So I'm assuming that the ones who still are like, yeah, she's not cool. This is bad behavior from a bad person. Probably not Trump supporters. Whereas I guess Trump is like, this is great.
And we talked about that on Friday. That certainly, I think it's pretty well known that Donald Trump hates dogs.
Yeah.
And you know, so many of his insults are he died like a dog. He was whenever everything is like a dog. So it's not like he's terribly fond of dogs. And there was plenty of speculation that she put this in her book to impress him.
Yeah.
Because she wants to be his running mate as vice president.
Andrew from Maine on the live stream says, do you think with all this publicity about her book, she will make the bestsellers list?
Oh.
People buying it to read it to see what she has to say. I think it'll probably be on the Amazon bestseller. I don't know if it'll hit New York Times bestseller. There'll be people who have, and that's
more
the
curious,
thing too.
Sure.
That's the other thing too, is the whole reason why we know about the dog quote is because the press gets advanced copies. So that goes back to my original point of, at the very least, it's going to be the second edition that has these changes, because the first edition is going to be full of all these fun facts that people are going to go over real, real closely. And I can't wait for this weekend when all the, just, I mean, it's just going to be, did you see what Kristi Noem also, she invented the pencil.
It was incredible.
Yes.
It was. It was incredible.
Kristi Watch, day 3 or day 15 or what else.
But to go back to your point about, you're right. Now it's double down on everything.
Yes.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. Rather than own it,
yeah,
I'm just going to double down on it, because admitting I made a mistake is a sign of weakness.
That sounds like real personal responsibility to me, Jane.
That's so sad.
What a moral lesson for the children.
Really, that's so sad.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, we move on in this society, and someone says, I don't like the fact she killed her dog, but if she said, yeah, it was a mistake, I shouldn't have done it, I'm like, all right, there's some contrition there. There's some remorse.
Yeah.
I'm still not going to vote for her, but, you know, she's not a monster. Now she just sounds like a dog-killing monster who can't get her story straight.
It will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking about it tomorrow, because she's going to keep talking.
Yeah, which I don't know if that's doing. We'll see if this does her good or not. Again, 32% of Trump supporters say her killing the dog was just fine.
And that's where it differs with Trump. Trump can take a story like this and he can turn it into millions and millions of dollars of free press that really help him. She's not good at this. She's not adept.
And there was a lot of that floating around on social media yesterday, too. Yeah, that she didn't necessarily handle this correctly. All right. When we return, changes for the Milwaukee Election Commission. Kind of a surprise this close to the election. We have all the details on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful, sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation, call or text at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Also, download the Civic Media app that gives you the option of calling and texting directly from the app into whatever show you're listening to across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. So go to wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app. It is absolutely free. Mentioned this before we headed into the break. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson announcing he is replacing Milwaukee Election Commission Executive Director Claire Woodall. Her deputy, Paulina Gutierrez, will be taking her place. This comes 6 months before the November election, with a lot of eyes going to be on Milwaukee and certainly in Wisconsin.
Especially with the constitutional amendments constitutional amendments, but also the fact that they weren't able to get any sort of funding to help out.
Right.
So it's going to be long nights in Milwaukee and Madison, but Milwaukee especially.
Absolutely. And this, let's not forget that it was the Republican-led legislature that would not allow them to start counting absentee ballots early.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing was, there was a bipartisan bill in the assembly to allow this to happen. And they were fine. Like, let it happen. Let them count. And Devin Lemahieu, the state, who is currently enjoying, I think this is the beginning of month one of that 10-month break they're taking, month two they're into, he said, I don't want to take it up. And when asked, he's like, that's not my job to take these things up. It's like, this is your job. You run the Senate, and this is important. So now in November, on the night of, you're going to be sitting here, either your cohorts are going to be saying, well, Milwaukee is just taking and doing ballot dumps and taking so much time.
Exactly.
You could have done something you didn't.
Well, that was a choice.
Exactly.
That was a very specific choice. Exactly. So they can go and complain about it and make all these false claims about ballot dumps.
Yeah.
It's the largest city in the state. It's going to take longer than Mayville.
Yeah. And ballot, I don't like that term, ballot dumps, but that's what happens. New ballots come in. You got to count them from all over. And it takes time. That's democracy. It's not the fastest thing in the world, but it's better when it's done correctly.
And it takes time.
Yep.
It just does. I saw Lara Trump on Fox over the weekend saying that no ballots should be counted after Election Day. Now, I might be wrong about this because we just did talk to someone from Democrats Abroad and Voting Abroad. And I'm not sure if they get a little grace period as far as a couple days to make sure that their ballots get here on time. But if you're saying that at midnight on election night, all counting has to stop, that's not accurate. That's not going to be an accurate count.
Yeah. I just get that I know it's not going to happen, but in 2020, when the former president went on the press conference at 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, we're going to tell the Supreme Court to stop counting. We won. That's it. That's my big fear now, that someone's just going to come and be like, no, we're done. It's fine.
That should concern a lot of folks when you consider that your ballot might actually not get counted because, no, we're stopping right now. It's midnight. Boom, we're done.
Yeah. Yep. We win. You lose.
And then Republican National Committee co-chair Michael Whatley was on WISN's Upfront this weekend. Whatley replacing former chair Ronna McDaniel when she got pushed out. He says they will continue encouraging Republicans to vote early, despite the former president saying that that's all fraud.
Whatever. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I think I said it before, but I'll say it again. Poor Brian Schimming. Just trying to push this. He's just trying.
He's trying.
It's the only new thing they're doing that's shiny and fun. Everything else is the same old, lying, putting it on Twitter, blah, blah, blah.
Michael Whatley is saying yesterday, quote, look, over 50% of all voters are going to be voting before Election Day this cycle. We need to be talking to the voters before they go vote. The key for us is if you want to vote by mail, great. If you want to vote early, great. If you want to vote on Election Day, great. Make a plan and stick to the plan and make sure you get that ballot in, unquote. And yet the leader of your party is saying, no, it's all fraud. You have to vote on Election Day. Otherwise, it's fraud. It's easy to cheat. It's bad, 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 bad.
I wonder how many Trump voters were just going to be like, that's the one point they'll be like, yes, totally. Check off Donald Trump and just put that in the envelope. Don't have to worry. Like, they're going to let him just
do his thing.
Do his thing. But like, I wonder how many Trump voters are actually going to vote early just because, like, that's one where I disagree with him, but I won't say it out loud because I don't want to get, you know, destroyed in any sort of social media. But I think we're going to see an explosion in early voting on both sides because it's just also very convenient.
It is. It's extremely convenient.
How convenient is it, Jane?
It's so convenient that no one should be fighting against this.
I agree. You can go to myvote.wi.gov and you can order absentee ballots for the rest of the year to your house.
Yep.
You can fill them out. And fill them out for whoever you want.
Yeah.
You want to write in Mickey Mouse? I wouldn't suggest it, but whatever. But you want to vote for whomever you want? They send you the ballots. You go through the process. You send them off. And then you have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it because something can happen. Heck, rainy days keep people
away. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We never know what kind of weather we're going to get. I just find that it's going to be interesting to follow this and see how these two completely divergent messages.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's all fraud. No, go vote early. It's good.
If you do it, you hate America.
News is on the way in just a little bit. When we return, we're going to talk about Project 2025 with retired Major General Randy Manner. He is with the National Security Leaders for America. We spoke to a couple of their members before, including retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson, when we were talking about NATO and the importance of Ukraine, aid to Ukraine. Randy Manner will be talking to us about Project 2025, what this will do to America. There's a lot in there.
Yeah, and please listen. And listen with an open heart and open mind.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
He has a lot of experience. We're going to start that and just get a little bit of his background. But stay tuned. News is next right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Chasing dragons with plastic swords.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. Retired Major General Randy Manner is with us, and you are with the organization called National Security Leaders for America. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good morning, Jane. I am so thrilled to be here. I tell you, it's always great to be able to tell great stories and interact with your listeners.
This is so important. Randy, the Project 2025, we were mentioning right before we went to the news, it's almost 1,000 pages long. It's really long, as well as the other blueprint for conservative leadership, which is also another long screed. That is essentially a blueprint for what would be a second Trump administration. Before we jump into Project 2025, could you just tell us a little bit about your background and your service to this country?
So I've got 36 years of military service. Started as lieutenant out of Penn State University, airborne ranger, pathfinder, jump master, jungle expert, all the things a young officer does, jump out of airplanes with the 82nd, went around the world, went to grad school for operations research in computer science, and continue to serve. And then at the 10-year mark, I resigned my regular Army commission, got out, and decided that I was going to be a citizen soldier. So I joined the Virginia Army National Guard at that point for 16 years, part-time. And during those 16 years, I was a project manager and then actually chief information officer for a multi-billion dollar international IT consulting company. Then 9/11 happened, and I was recalled to active duty with my unit for service in the Pentagon. It was literally still smoldering when we showed up. We were the first unit activated with a mission to augment the Army Operations Center. And then, to my surprise, with the benevolent help of my wife, I came home one day, and I said, hey, they've offered me a job to continue after this mobilization. And she said, okay, well, you know, I've never seen you more motivated, more excited, and, you know, you're working 7 days a week. And I said, what about the fact that I took an 80% pay loss? And she said, she says, you know, to go on active duty. And she laughs and she says, you're so cheap, I never saw that money anyway. I said, no, Wait, it's called Frugal. Frugal.
There you go.
Yes. Anyway, thank you. So I stayed on active duty for another 12 years, got promoted to 1-star, then got promoted to 2-star, had the great opportunity to be the deputy commanding general of 3rd Army in Kuwait and Iraq to help get 100,000 soldiers out safely out of Iraq back in 2010. Was responsible for nuclear and chemical weapons of our own, as of course we don't have any more chemical weapons, which is awesome, and also inspecting the Russians. So I've actually been at a Russian nuclear base outside of Moscow and hosted the Russians in our territory as well. And I've also was responsible for leading the DOD pandemic planning back in the day as well. So that's a quick summary. It's been an honor.
Well, and as Brendan says on the live stream, thank you for your service on behalf of all of us, Randy, really from the bottom of our hearts. I can't even imagine what that was like all those 36 years. But this certainly gives you an inside perspective that most of us don't have, particularly when it comes to Project 2025 and what this would do to the Department of Defense. And I want to say I saw Kellyanne Conway, who was an advisor to President Trump. She was in the Trump administration. And she essentially said people are going to be surprised by the alacrity with which changes are made. That should scare everybody.
Yes. So the first time that Trump was president, no offense, but the people he brought in really didn't know how to run a government at all. And with rare exceptions, obviously, there were a few people, his chief of staff, secretary of defense, and a few others. But the further you got down with political appointees, they really had very little, if any, government experience. And one of the things that they have sworn to do is they now know how to move the levers of power such that they can make changes very rapidly. And that's scary because that's not what government is supposed to do. When our founders of our government created our government, they wanted it to be move more slowly and more thoughtfully, even though it can be very frustrating.
Right.
That means that someone cannot grab the reins and take it far left or far right. Trump and Project 2025 absolutely has a plan to do that.
It's on steroids. It really is. At least from what I have read. And don't forget, and as you pointed out, Randy, that at least in his first term, he had some people who knew what they were doing. And certainly on the legal side of it, saying, I'm sorry, you can't do that. That's illegal.
Yes.
And right. and he's going to get rid of, he's not bringing those people back. They're going to do loyalty pledges for everybody.
Yes. Well, that's in Project 2025. So just imagine, see, right now people feel that, and they rightfully feel this because we're trained this way as military members and leaders, that we do not pledge allegiance to follow an individual. We do not. That's what happens in Russia. That's what happened in Germany with Hitler, is you pledged allegiance to the leader. For us, we pledge allegiance to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, which is rather interesting that it's rather timely now.
Yes.
That has been part of our oath for this entire time. So the rule of law is what governs our military. Can you imagine that? Because people don't understand, the president of the United States actually nominates all officers for promotion to the next higher rank, starting literally at lieutenant, captain, major, lieutenant colonel, or in the Navy ranks as well, let alone general and admiral. It's not just the senior ranks, it's all of them. Then the president recommends them to Congress. Congress approves them. Here's the deal. He could have that loyalty test. It is my blunt opinion, an educated opinion, that he can purge the military of all the people that do not have allegiance to him within 2 years. And he can do it fast. It's very dangerous and very quick. That's also true, by the way, of each of the state National Guards as well, where that litmus test could be applied to every single state if the governor so decided or if the president so decided.
Well, what you said about the president is the one who appoints the military commanders and as they go up the chain, it just reminds me of all of the acting officials he had in his administration. And that's how he got around some of the firewalls that were in mm-hmm. place then, because they didn't have to go and be approved by Congress. He just made them acting. whether they were qualified or not. And so this would just happen on a much larger and a much more drastic scale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just think about, you know, if you go to a doctor, you want that doctor to be trained and qualified, board certified in whatever specialties he or she has. Can you imagine having people that are running the government that really don't know what they're doing, either failing to do certain things that they should be doing, for example, processing Veterans Administration disability checks, or the idea of Social Security entitlements for people across the country? All of those things absolutely could and would be affected by this kind of an action.
And don't forget, when he was in office, we had two buddies at Mar-a-Lago who were advising the VA, weren't they?
Yes, yes, yes. It's very sad. Very, very sad. Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is with us, and we're talking about Project 2025. And if you have a question, you can certainly text it in at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. So essentially, Randy, he could make this his military.
He could do it within 2 years. And that means that, and here's the scary part, is there are laws in our, for example, people always say for a junior officer, like a lieutenant colonel, well, that's a mid-grade officer, what's the most important people in your unit? There's two people that are most important to a commander in the field. One is his or her command sergeant major or master chief. It's the senior enlisted leader to have the voice of the enlisted soldier so that he is or she is well connected to the average soldier. Well, the other person is the chaplain, because that's the heart and mind of your soldiers and your families. When you pin on general officer, you add a third person to your triad of advisors, and that is a JAG or an attorney, because we have to be driven by the what is right and what is wrong, so that we are always crystal clear and do not go into a gray area. That's one of the reasons why I joined this amicus brief to go before the Supreme Court, because quite bluntly, as a senior officer, the president could direct me to do something illegal, even though allegedly he would be immune from prosecution, but that does not mean anybody who executes his orders are immune. Not only can I not imagine that the leader is immune from prosecution, that puts everybody below him in harm's way. It's extremely narcissistic and sad, unfortunately.
Well, and it also makes me think that the reason why Tommy Tuberville from Alabama was sitting on all of those promotions for all that time and delaying that for all that time was to leave these spots open until a potential second Trump administration.
That's a very real possibility as well. I mean, as you know, even senior Republicans were chastising him significantly about why are you doing this? You realize you're actually doing more harm to our country by having less qualified people in acting positions than, quite frankly, the Chinese or the Russians could possibly do to us, which, by the way, is absolutely true. Our readiness was degraded because we didn't have the right people in the right positions.
Well, and let's not forget about he dissolved the pandemic force before COVID came along because he didn't like to see people standing around with nothing to do. That still blows my mind.
So, Jane, I was the senior Department of Defense military person that sat in on the intergovernment exercises for pandemic planning back in 2010 and 2011, 2012. And the sad thing about it is we lost somewhere between 1.3 and 1.4 million Americans because of COVID. It is my blunt opinion, and I'm going to say this on the air because I truly believe this to be true. History, when the researchers get the data, because some of it's classified and some of it's not, the researchers will find out that Trump's actions and failure to act probably will cause him to be the greatest mass murderer of Americans ever, because at least 350,000 of those were totally unnecessary because people did not know what to do or said, hey, I'm being told to drink Lysol, or whatever,
yep,
and not to get an immunity, this whole idea of a vaccine. By the way, what I just said, I'm saying it live in the air, I stand behind it, and I have data to back it up. It'll be a matter of time. It might be well after Trump's demise or him passing in 10 years or 20 years, but it will come out about, oh my goodness, all these things that we could have done. Because again, I know, because I was part of the planning
right.
and the execution.
Right.
I'm talking about in the exercises, not actually in the COVID. Mm-hmm. There are measures we could have taken that would not have negatively impacted our economy as much as they were. And very important, we could have been the heroes of the world if he had enacted the National Security Act to produce PPE, personal equipment, yep. for protection for the hospitals, instead of them competing against each other and dealing with trash bags in hospitals. We could have been the heroes of the world, but we weren't.
And again, we talk about this all the time. We have very short memories. People forget. People forget what it was like 4 years ago at the very beginning of the mm-hmm. pandemic and all of the Jared Kushner. It's not our responsibility to supply PPE to all the states. What do we look like, a store? If the governor of a blue state calls and isn't nice to me, I'm not going to give them any. This is all worth remembering. All right, we are going to keep going with this. Our guest is retired Major General Randy Manner. We're talking about Project 2025. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Very excited to have our guest join us. Retired Major General Randy Manner is here. He is with a group called National Security Leaders for America, and we're talking about Project 2025. Randy, someone had mentioned who was on the one of the streams that they think that you're overreacting and you're being overly dramatic about what the implementation of Project 2025 would mean for American democracy.
It's funny. I absolutely know that I am not over-dramatizing whatsoever. It's something where, because I know from fact, it's not the idea that I am reading left or right-wing propaganda. It's something where I have experienced it firsthand, and I know what the facts are. I know how easy it is to work the levers of government. I've worked with the Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, Department of Agriculture, with Homeland Security, both with the National Guard and as a regular Army officer. And I know how the political appointees work, and I know how the career government civilians work. This is not an exaggeration. What they say is what they are going to do.
Yes.
You don't have to listen to me. You have to listen to them. And that is what is going to happen.
It says it right in, as you said, in Project 2025, some executive orders would include eliminating the Department of Education, renaming the Department of Health and Human Services the Department of Life, and a promise to restore the family as the centerpiece of American life.
Yes. So, you know, it's one of those things where... you know, one of the songs that you were playing by Nickelback, What Are You Waiting For? If you are listening to this radio show and you believe that our concept of democracy is at risk, which I strongly do, then what are you waiting for? It's something where you have to get yourself out to vote and like-minded people out to vote. And if in your area you're permitted to vote early at the right time, then you vote early. Get those votes counted. Every single person, when I was in high school, there was this group called 10 Years After. So people are going to go, what the heck is 10 Years After? But that's a group a long time ago. And there's a song called, I Like to Change the World. I'd Like to Change the World. And the next phrase is, but I don't know how. Well, the way to change the world here this November, get yourself out to vote and get everyone else of like-minded individuals out to vote. That is the minimum you can do to ensure that we do not have a drastic change of our lifestyle in the next 2 years.
And that's something, sir, we've talked about on show. Every week we talk about this because we know that individuals like yourselves, Jane, me, Calvin, and our listeners, we're in this. We're listening to the news. We're watching the streams come through, all this stuff happening there. And then there are people out there who are absolutely going to vote for the former president. There's no changing their mind. What we're trying to do is reach those undecided and those people who are like, I want to be more involved, but I got kids, I got a mortgage,
I
got taxes, I have a life. So this is, these are these moments where if they're listening now, we help them understand how important it is to talk about these things. And I'm going to put on the screen again, myvote.wi.gov. You can find out who your representatives are. You can find out where your polling place is. Most importantly, are you registered?
Yes.
If you are not registered, get registered right away. You can order your absentee ballots, but get informed through things like this. This is why we have the Major General on. And, you know, I've just been listening and I've been enjoying the conversation, but thank you so much for being here. Jane, take it over.
Well, and I think, and thank you for that, Greg. And I think too, the turnout is critical. Turnout in November is going to be critical. And we in Wisconsin, we know we're a battleground state. Last time it only came down to, what, 22,000 votes or something like that. I would like to see such a massive victory that there can be no questions. Tim Scott was on Meet the Press yesterday saying, she asked him, will you accept the results if Donald Trump loses in November? Donald Trump is going to be the president. She asked him six times, will you accept the results if Donald Trump loses? Donald Trump is going to be president.
It's like a kid at Christmas. I will get what I want for Christmas.
I mean, exactly. So, and that's why I think the turnout has, it's critically important, important.
In fact, Jane and Greg, I applaud you for putting out that information for voting and getting registered, quite frankly, because the difference, those people who want Trump to be president cannot be convinced otherwise, and that's fine. I'm not trying to talk to those kind of people. Who we are trying to say is, if you're disillusioned or you're frustrated, but yet you don't really want Trump, but you may not want Biden, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a difference between continuing life as you somewhat know it, or having a drastic change about the things that you can say on social media, or you can say at church, or that you can, the healthcare that you can get or not get. It is such a dramatic shift. By the way, it won't occur on day one. It'll take about 2 years. But across the country, the changes will be felt from the cities to the most rural parts of our country. And that's why you hit the nail on the head. It's all about voter turnout. Voter turnout. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yeah, it really is. So talk to your friends and family. Make sure the people that you love are registered to vote. Again, myvote.wi.gov. And it doesn't hurt to check the voter rolls, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. There's still hanky-panky going on with certain groups trying to purge the voter rolls. So I don't think it's a bad idea to check it every once in a while just to make sure you're still registered and you didn't get tossed off there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We would love to have you back, Randy. Major General Randy Manner has been our guest. We're talking about Project 2025. I'd like to have you back in a couple of months and we can revisit and hopefully, again, encourage people to get involved, get informed, and go out and vote. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir. I would welcome to come back. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, sir. News is coming up next. When we return, cell phones, our kids, and weaning ourselves off of it. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
that was when I ruled the world.